Welcome back to Insight on Cap Radio. I'm your host, Vicky Gonzalez. The Sacramento State Hornets finished their regular season undefeated, 11-0, following their win over crosstown rivals at UC Davis with the Causeway Classic. The Big Sky champions are now looking ahead to the Football Championship Subdivision, where they are ranked second in the FCS playoffs. Sac State has never won an FCF championship, but this year, fans believe the Hornets may have become unstoppable. Joining us to talk about Sac State's football program and how it became a juggernaut of a team this season is play-by-play announcer Jason Ross. Good morning, Jason. Thanks for joining us.
Good morning. Thank you, Vicky. Thank you for having me.
So how long have you been following and also been a part of Sac State football?
25 seasons. So way back to mid to late 90s, I should say. So it's been a long time.
It has been a long journey. Well, let's just focus on this season. What were the main ingredients behind a perfect season?
Well, obviously some talent on the field, incredible coaching staff, some good fortune. I mean, a lot of things went their way, but they created that with just the way they play, their style, and their confidence of the last couple of years where they built the success. But now to have a perfect season was truly special.
Going back 25 seasons ago to now, I mean, how do you kind of encapsulate you following along Hornet football? Because this is such a... It's been a minute since they've had this level of success.
Yeah, I didn't honestly think it was possible. I would dream, but I don't think I could dream this big that this program could be where they are now. And a lot of the credit to me goes to the head coach, Troy Saylor. He's been absolutely incredible, had success in the region at Folsom High School, and basically has the same principles that he used there, utilizing now with the Hornets. And it's just a team that believes they can win every week, and there's something different about that, and it's shown to prevail in a bunch of wins.
What were the biggest changes under head coach Troy Taylor's leadership?
I would say, it's funny, his very first press conference, I remember being there, Vicky, and he started by saying, this whole thing is going to be built around love. And you're thinking, okay, football, I'm thinking scheme, strategy, big, strong guys. And his whole thing was love. He said love for football, love for the university, love for your teammates, love for the game, that kind of thing. And it, some of the players even kind of took back, like, wait, we're these big, tough guys. What are you talking about love here? But it's really, that's the foundation of what it's built around. And if you trust your teammate, you love them, you're playing for the right reasons, then I think that's got you all in the right spot. And then, of course, the scheme and the game plan that's supplied by the coaches, they followed. And it's just all working.
Since he took over a couple of years ago, has it really been like a 180 in terms of the track record for this team?
Yeah, they had some isolated seasons where maybe they'd win 7 games, 7-4, 6-5, but they hadn't had very many winning seasons. They've had some good teams, some guys that went on to play in the Canadian Football League or even the NFL. But with Troy Taylor, it just came in. It all came together at the same time. And then we've seen it grow in the community with the fan support and the attendance. And so it's kind of a storm that's all come together. It's taken years to happen. But he made it happen on a fast track that no one thought would happen this quickly.
Well, let's get to that fan base, because the Causeway Classic is an annual tradition, you know, rivals UC Davis and Sacramento State. But this year's attendance was like a record, over 23,000 people. What was that like taking it all in?
From our broadcast vantage point in the press box, we could see the line, the tailgate outside, and it was awesome to see, but also get in here. This is a great game. And so it was overwhelming beyond capacity. Davis brought their people. Sac State certainly brought theirs. It meant a lot to the region. It was an important game for Davis, and the perfect season is what the Hornets were chasing. So to see the support earlier in the season on homecoming, they had their fourth largest crowd ever. They had their largest average attendance for a season. So Sacramento's starting to catch on to what the appeal of this team.
Is Sac State gaining notice beyond hometown pride?
Yes, for sure. I think nationally at the FCS level, they were the 11th largest average attendance, so that's good. Being ranked number 2, they had an ESPN game nationally this year, and now in the playoffs, everybody's getting attention, so they deserve it.
You know, getting to that rival game, I was on Twitter, and we saw Asher O'Hara being quite the acrobat. I mean, he leapt over players like it was an attempted tackle into the end zone, and you could just hear the crowd go wild, understandably, once he accomplished that. But I think moments like that really encapsulate the palpable pride and collective enthusiasm that's kind of special to sports.
Yeah, and it goes back to, you ask about national attention. So that specific highlight in the Causeway for Asher O'Hara was the number 4 play in their top 10 plays. So that's including all sports that they included that in for that day. His mother's actually a gymnast, so he stuck the landing, which he has
a little bit of a backstory.
Yeah, the family background there. And highlights like that get you attention, get excited. To me, I think that's the highlight of the season. And it obviously caught your attention too. It was just an amazing play.
Yeah, and I do recommend people watch it. It's really hard to kind of describe what happened, but it was very impressive.
Well, and my job is to describe on the radio. I think I did a lot of just screaming because I was blown away that he went head over heels and stuck the landing.
Yeah, and he's a quarterback. What about his role in the team as well?
Yeah, so here's what they do that's unique. Normally, you have one quarterback for your team. Well, Asher O'Hara and Jake Dunaway, they play two. And that's abnormal. And there's a popular phrase in sports that if you have two quarterbacks, you don't really have one. Well, they play both and they both succeed and they've made it work. They're really good friends. They've done it for two seasons. It's nothing that Troy Taylor has ever done before. But Jake Dunaway is the other starting quarterback or the other quarterback, and he's more of a thrower. Asher's more of the athlete and runner, but they both can do both. And I call every play of every game. And if I don't know who's coming in, how on earth is the defense going to know? So it's been very impressive.
When it comes to the head coach, Taylor, he's a local as well, correct? I mean, you mentioned Folsom. And he also played football at the collegiate level.
Yeah, he played at Cal. He went high school at Cordova. So, I mean, he's got ties to this community. And that's also, I think, it helps in recruiting. He has the trust of other coaches. He knows who to trust when, you know, they're trying to sell him goods on which player to come to Sac State. He knows who to trust. And just his local ties, being successful in high school as a player all the way to the NFL, and then certainly as a coach, it works well here.
And this great season really just got even better. I mean, there was a school record number of awards from the Big Sky Conference. What are the ones that really stand out to you the most?
So they did a clean sweep. They had the coach of the year in Troy Taylor. They had the offensive player of the year in Cameron Scadaboo and the defensive player of the year in Marte Mapu. And then a bunch of individual first team, second team, third team. So when you succeed, a lot of people get attention. So they had the rare clean sweep of coach, offense, and defensive player of the year.
Well, for those who are unfamiliar with the Big Sky Conference or NCAA Division I football, describe the teams that Sac State is up against.
So in their league, the Big Sky is a very good conference. Five teams made the 24-team playoffs, and it's now down to 16, which the Hornets will have the playoff game this weekend. So it's a very competitive conference. Montana traditionally has been one of the powers, Weber State, Eastern Washington. There's just a lot of good teams, UC Davis, Cal Poly, in their conference. And so to go undefeated in the conference is impressive. They've now done it two consecutive years. They have 19 straight conference wins. The conference record is 25. So, I mean, stuff they're doing is really unparalleled.
And now we head to the football championship subdivision, FCS. Mm-hmm. What lays ahead for them?
So that's the playoffs. It begins this weekend for them. Like I said, there were 24 teams that made it. The top eight, in which the Hornets were number two, had a weekend off. And they had to watch their potential opponents, which last week Davidson played Richmond. Richmond won, so Richmond's going to be coming across country.
It was like a blowout. Yeah, wasn't it like 41-0 or something?
Yeah, it wasn't much of a game. So that Richmond's coming out to California for the first time ever. They've been playing football since 1881, and they've never been to California as a program. So that's the advantage of being the two seed, being at home. You have your home fans. Unfortunately, right now, I think they might have some rain to deal with. We'll see, but the fact that they've been great all year, good at home, good on the road, the Hornets should be well prepared for this.
So if Sac State got the second seed, who's first?
The first seed is South Dakota State. I personally, and this will sound like I'm wearing a Hornet hat, which I probably am, think the Hornets should have been one. South Dakota State's very good. They actually beat Sacramento State last year in the playoffs and knocked them out. They did have one loss. Now, they played Iowa, who's a level above and is great, but they did lose. The Hornets played one game a level above and won 41-10 against Colorado State. So it seemed like everything checked the box for the Hornets to be the one seed. They're two, but that's still okay.
Given that the Hornets, Sac State has had an advantage of having won a home field spot come this weekend, a week of rest and practice, how do you think they're going to stack up against Richmond?
So I think well, but this has been the trouble spot, Vicky, for them the last 2 years. They've had really good seasons. They've had the bye week, and they've had the home game. They've lost both of those. So they've got to avoid that. They've gotten off to terrible starts the last two playoffs. They were trailing 24-0 and 28-0, which is completely out of their character. There was a stretch here in their win streak where they trailed for a matter of 12 seconds. So, I mean, they've been in control of a lot of games. They've had the lead in a lot of games. I hope they've learned from their past, too. They've also played good teams. But I think the past experience will do them well.
And you mentioned that Big Sky is a strong conference. What is FCF? What are the teams that Sac State will be up against if they actually continue to move forward in the playoffs?
Yeah, so I mean, obviously, if all went well and two would face one in the championship, that would be in Frisco, Texas. That would be the South Dakota State. They're in the Missouri Valley Football Conference. That's a really good conference. We're talking about teams that are still around, still from their conference, Montana State, Montana, Weber State, all from the Big Sky, are still alive in the Final 16. North Dakota State has won 9 of the last 11 championships. They're still around. And if things went right, the Hornets would host them in 2 more weeks from now. So that's all looking ahead, but those are some of the powers that are in their way.
Yeah, I mean, they essentially need to win three playoff games to secure a spot in the championship.
Correct.
And they haven't won a championship before. Do you think this is going to be the year?
They're as built as any possible. I mean, the hard part about football, it's one day. I mean, the ball doesn't bounce your way. You fumble it and it goes to the other team, turnovers, those kind of things. But they can't be more ready for it. Doesn't mean it's in their hands, but they have home field. They're really good. They're one of the teams to beat, so they're as well set up for it as possible.
Given that it's back-to-back undefeated seasons, mm-hmm. correct? Is this still an underdog story?
It feels like it because of their playoffs that they haven't won a playoff game. They haven't won a championship. There's some other teams in front of them that have kind of that stature and maybe even giving them the 2 seed. I feel like they should have been the 1. So I think they do a fine line of playing that underdog role but also knowing that they're good and they have confidence. So I kind of like that spot for them.
Yeah, well, I think regardless, this weekend's going to go great.
It's going to
be a lot of fun.
It is going to be a lot of fun.
I anticipate maybe another record crowd.
It would be so great. The tailgating, so it's something we don't normally do. We went out for the Causeway tailgate after we were set up in our booth and we had some extra time. Incredible. I mean, the Davis fans were there, but the Sac State fans, and how many were out there? Just music, food. And there's something about a tailgate. Everybody offers you food.
I know.
Isn't that great? It's hard to turn down.
A couple hamburgers, a hot dog,
yeah,
why not?
It's like just keep working the room and you get a bunch of stuff.
Well fed. Jason, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Stingers up.
Yes, you got it. Stingers up.
That is play-by-play announcer Jason Ross discussing Sac State's football program finishing an undefeated regular season and now heading to the playoffs. That is it for Insight today. You can learn more about our guests at capradio.org/insight. You can also subscribe to the Insight podcast. If you want to join the conversation, email us, insight@capradio.org. Thank you to producers Nick Dobis and Victor Carell Martinez, with managing editor Aram Sarkissian. Our digital producer is Megan Minata. Insight's technical director is Mark Jones, and our engineer is Antonio Munez. Our music is produced by Adrian Gilmore. And I'm Vicki Gonzalez. Thanks for joining us. We'll catch you back here tomorrow.